Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody, welcome, and thank you for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. I'm Zach. I'm here with Laura. And we're talking about something that I actually think is really important, and we don't talk about enough. It's the idea of forgiveness. What is it? How does it work? What's required? I think it comes up a lot in our offices without being labeled that way. Maybe it's the opposite label, which is resentment. We talk about that a little bit. This is a very cool conversation. Stick around.
I got my swim in today.
Nice. What else are you doing? What's happening?
I'm in the process of making arrangements for a puppy. I'm going to see a woman about a puppy. I already told you about that, right?
I don't know. A new puppy? A new dog?
Mm-hmm. A brand new one. Yeah, we've already talked about this. But it's actually becoming real because now I'm in communication and putting money toward it and blah, blah, blah.
That's kind of exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as I can get excited about a dog.
I just don't know what to do with the dog. Like, I have to be a responsible human. It's really funny. I'm trying to make plans.
I don't understand why people voluntarily make their lives harder.
Well, that 100%, I am fully on board. That is why I had one child, because I realized that there was a tipping point of enjoyment and satisfaction where like I kind of figured after one, it gets exponentially more difficult. So I was like, I'm just going to have one, but I don't know. We've been watching, you know what it is? It's Instagram. Instagram has forced me to get a second puppy because they're so cute. And now they're putting these little voices. I guess that's, what is it? Reels? TikTok videos. They're putting these little human voices where it's like, my mom says I'm a puppy. I identify as a puppy, but I'm just a baby. It's so cute. I can't handle it. So last night, before bed, we sat around and we watched these little puppy wiener dogs. And it just, I'm all in. They got me.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I'm a good dog mom, though. That's all I have to say, regardless of the fact that my dog had to have his stitches removed yesterday for being attacked by a coyote. But that wasn't my fault.
Yeah.
How you doing this morning, Mr. Orange? Was that an intentional sweatshirt choice?
Yeah, you bet. You bet. I don't know if I can't remember what we've actually published and what we haven't. We recorded that last one like four times and then all my good stories went away. But
I'm pretty well. Let's just assume that people know why you wear an orange sweatshirt.
I bought an orange sweatshirt, just in case you don't know. I bought an orange sweatshirt.
I love hearing you say orange, by the way. Your Virginia accent comes out.
Because I always wear blues and grays and blacks. And then sometimes I get sad. And I decided if I'm going to be sad, I might as well put on a bright colored shirt. So it's kind of cheating because it's like a burnt orange. But it's the brightest thing I own.
My buddy Tom walked out the door the other day and everything he owned, including like his watch band, his like phone cover, his tennis shoes, his shorts, his shirt, everything was orange. Orange.
Okay. Orange.
Yes.
And here's a trivia question. True or false?
Okay.
The color orange was named after the fruit.
Yes, true.
That's true.
Okay. How do you know
that? I don't
know.
I was the host of a party last week. It was like an adult kind of American Ninja Warrior party thing.
I gotta get you a Zip Fizz or something. And you're talking real slow this morning.
I'm trying to think of the important part of the story. The important part of the story is that part of the contest was trivia and it was one of the trivia questions.
Okay. Well, I am one for one batting.
Did you also know this? This is a true story too.
Oh,
orange. Mm-hmm. There is no word in the English language that rhymes with orange.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to give it a thought.
You're not even going to doubt me.
Yeah. That's a fun thing. Do you do Wordle? Yeah. I feel like you'd be very good at Wordle.
Yeah. I do the Wordle.
Okay.
So in fact, me and our mutual friend and a whole bunch of people, we play Wordle golf.
Okay.
So we pick a day to start and then we play 18 days in a row.
Oh, that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
And whoever has the lowest score.
Yeah. And par is four.
Oh, okay. That's kind of high. Like most of the people in my family get it done in three.
Yeah, so they're, well, they're birdie. They're good birdie. Golfers.
Okay.
And if you don't get it at all, you get a 7. And if you don't report your score, you get an 8.
Okay.
So at the end,
hey,
somebody's
that's
the winner.
Fun.
And then for like 3 weeks, we move up and down the leaderboard. We watch each other move up and down the leaderboard as we play
I'm
the world.
I'm going to introduce this to my family because we have something called Sports Day.
I'll send you my scorecard.
Oh, okay.
I have an actual spreadsheet with a sport. Like, it's like it tracks the score and it does everything. Yeah.
See,
you're welcome to it.
You minimize the effort in certain areas of your life and then you maximize effort in others.
It's
that's
true.
A lot of work right there.
Yeah. Well, sort of. Some of that work is very energizing for me and it makes me feel, but then other places I'm like, nope. Hmm. I had a big birthday party last night and I had no jobs and I did 0 jobs.
You had no jobs and you did 0 jobs. And that's that exactly was energizing for you to do nothing?
No, that was like where I didn't do the energizing thing. I just did the, okay, mm-hmm. I have no jobs here. So I don't have any need to overcompensate or overfunction.
Hmm. Okay.
But when I'm in charge of like the American Ninja Warrior party at my pool,
yeah,
crush it.
Oh, you're
Wordle
on
golf,
it.
I'm on it. Yeah.
I have to tell you, I had a moment of acknowledging.
I got the Wordle in 2 the other day.
Wow.
This never happened to me. I did the
is that
first
an
word.
Eagle? That's an eagle, right?
That's an eagle. I did the first word and I got 0 colors. I got 0 letters completely wrong.
Uh huh.
The second word, 100% right.
You smashed it.
Mm hmm.
Are you like other people? Gosh, we're spending way too much time on Wordle, but where you start with the same word every time.
I do. That's, start with the same 2 words every time.
Okay, so I think that's the strategy that I was going to say uncle. That's because he's so old. It's Ryan's oldest brother. he starts with the same word every time. I don't remember what the word is. I'm not going to tell you because I'm sure he would be kind of like bummed out. But it starts with a vowel because I think that the strategy of starting with a vowel is good, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway.
My first 2 words have 10 different letters.
What?
My first 2 words have 10 different letters.
But isn't Wordle only 5-letter words?
Yes.
Your first 2.
Let's do math. We got this. You can do it.
Words are 10 letters.
10 total. Different letters.
10 different 10 letters total. Different total. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Hey, is there something you want to talk about with marriage related to like marriage advice?
Yeah. I sent you a list yesterday. I got a whole bunch of lists. Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing really jumped out at me. I have to be honest.
Okay. Well, I'd like to talk about forgiveness.
Okay. Are you doing any of that these days? Why is that top of mind? You have anything to forgive me for? Forgive
no,
your wife
not you.
For? Forgive.
No, dude, I'm really actually really confused about some of this. But there's a speech that I give to clients a lot when we get into this space. And I don't know. I'm interested in what you think about it, and maybe what our listeners think about it. Because
you're going to give the speech.
No, I'm going to ask the question anyway. Because here's what happens: we'll start talking about something, and we'll surface resentment. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Or will surface that I just can't get over this thing, or I'm still mad at you. Right.
Yeah.
That was the thing yesterday. This guy says, I'm still mad at you.
Mm-hmm.
About what? About that we had a baby. It was a year and a half
nuts.
Ago. You know, and that your career is doing great. My career is not doing that great. And this is not what I signed up for. Blah, 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 blah. And I was sort of like, okay. So what? This is one question that I ask a lot. Like, I don't mean like, so what? I'm mad, so what? But so what do you want to do with that information? What do you want to do with that knowledge? What do you want to do with, or what do you want your partner to do with that information, that knowledge, mm-hmm. that I'm mad at you?
Mm-hmm. This is the male partner. Is that right?
Yeah. He was the one who said it to her.
Okay.
But it just made me kind of go, okay, cool. That's actually really helpful information. I'm really glad about that. Like, you're allowed to be angry, and thank you for surfacing that. And
totally.
She held her own. She's mad too about some stuff, whatever. But then we got into this conversation about forgiveness, and I asked this question. I'm interested in your answer. I said, as far as you know, do you have a philosophy of forgiveness?
Ooh.
And what is it?
I love actually talking about stuff on a philosophical level first,
mm-hmm.
because I think it loosens up the conversation when you make it personal.
Well, I very clearly didn't say, what's it going to take for you to forgive?
Totally. Too fast.
I just was
too
like,
soon.
Well, I was just like, as far as you know, because you might not know.
Right.
And then I always sort of say this, I grew up as a Christian, and that is kind of probably where I formed my philosophy of forgiveness. And it's something like, we should forgive other people because Christ forgave all our sins when he died on the cross. Like, there's something like, that's kind of like a philosophy of forgiveness that's attached to a very specific faith expression that we can all kind of go, oh yeah, I recognize that philosophy. I understand what that is. I don't know if I still sort of, well, actually, I know that I don't still buy that specific philosophy specifically, but it right. is a philosophy in that. Mm-hmm. And so I guess I'm wondering if you know, like, do you know, and you out there in marriage therapy radio land, do you think about it just for a second?
Yeah.
That's
not helping. I was starting to think about all the different types of philosophies, and it's interesting because I think organized religion is a really sort of introductory way of having that conversation, or, sure. you know, having your parents model what
that's where we learn about ethics however, and morality. And
however, I will yeah. say that parents suck when it comes to saying one thing and modeling another when it comes to forgiveness. I okay. really do. So I think that's a really hard thing to say, like, yeah, I grew up with this philosophy, this overarching belief system that came from, let's say, Christianity. And mm-hmm. I will say, I also grew up Christian, pastor's kid. It was like kind of ingrained in me. But the idea in sort of the non-denominational church that I grew up with was, you do nothing and you're forgiven. Like, you don't have to atone. Mm. You don't have to say 10 Hail Marys. You don't have mm-hmm. to do anything. You are forgiven. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's necessarily my belief system.
Well, yeah, I think it's worth, here's another one. This is actually tucked into the Bible, and I don't exactly remember where it was. I can find it if I need to, but there's this portion in the New Testament where the scripture says, you know, if your brother sins against you, go before you provide your offering, right? Before you come to the church, if your brother sins against you, go and confront him, basically. And then the line is, next one is, if he repents, then you forgive him. Mm. So it begs this question, which is, when it comes to forgiveness, do you need an apology?
Mm-hmm.
Do you need, like, if someone harms you in the relationship, yeah. this guy says, I'm mad at you that we had a baby.
Right.
Does he need an apology or a measure of repentance in order to access this thing called forgiveness? Yeah. I think that's an interesting question because, you know, what is it that we are hunting or chasing when we confront some of our own bitterness and our own anger? Mm-hmm. Is the other person... Can the other person do anything about that?
Totally.
You know,
I really have leaned a lot on Harriet Lerner's work when it comes to forgiveness. I think she does a phenomenal podcast. So I'll kind of give you, I'll tee that up at the end. I'll make myself a little note so I remember in the outro. But one of the things that I like that she says is, and I think we've harped on this a lot, is there's going to be a lot of things when you're coming to someone, you say, I have resentment, I have pain, I have all these things that I want to talk to you about. And the only way I can forgive you, the only way I can move on and not harbor this resentment is if you apologize. I think that is a losing proposition. I think
well,
that
it definitely,
is a really,
I mean, it definitely, if it begins to become your philosophy of forgiveness, it definitely diminishes your power.
Totally. Because
right? if I'm dependent upon your apology,
yep, you have to be willing to be like, okay, then I guess I'm just going to harbor this resentment and it's going to weigh me down. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because I have always kind of had the idea of resentment is a choice and it's a burden that you take on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we have the ability to take a look at our resentment and choose whether or not we want to carry that with us.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're willing to carry it with you, cool. Then you can hold on to the need for an apology. But if you're saying, I don't need to carry this, then I think what you're asking for is acknowledgement or even someone to listen to your pain. That's mm-hmm. what I think a forgiveness conversation.
This is your personal philosophy. Have we found your personal philosophy yet?
Like, I don't know. Okay. I think we're starting to land on it. Yeah. But I mean, going back to that Bible story that you're talking about.
Let me just do this real quick because uh-huh. somebody out there is going to proof text me and tell me the Bible doesn't say that. So I just Googled it real quick.
Oh, okay. Good.
It's Luke 17:3-4. It says, so watch yourselves. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. That's the thing I'm talking about. So uh-huh. I'm not making it up.
Okay. And I'm saying if they repent, and the repentance that I'm saying is the repentance is acknowledgement that my actions impacted you
mm-hmm.
and or hearing your pain and being present to recognize that there's two to this interaction. Something mm-hmm. happened between the two of us. I recognize you're in pain. And you need to release this in some sort of way. I had a really interesting conversation. I'm going to sidebar this for a second.
Okay.
I got a phone call from a girlfriend. Haven't talked to her in maybe 2 years. And we don't have a long lasting relationship, but she said, I really need to talk to you about something. Do you have time? And I went, holy crap, what's going on? Mm. Figuring she was going to say, something's going on with my relationship and I just really need to bounce some ideas. She said, do you remember when I moved and I sold you that bouncy house and I charged you like $250 for it? I really feel bad about that. And I've been thinking about it and I've thought about it probably about 15 times in the last 2 years. And I really needed to talk to you about that. And here I am going, of course you sold this to me, but I had to pause and I wanted to disregard it, right? I wanted to be like, oh, it's no big deal. But I recognized that she was in pain and she was looking for something in me, from me, in order to be able to release something in her. And I said, hey, I recognize that this is something that's really important to you. And I want to let you know, I hear you. And I understand like how that's been really weighing on you. And I just wanted to let you know that I think it's important to pay for things that, you know, are in exchange. Mm-hmm. And I said, I will turn around and sell this to another human being, just so you know, I'm going to get my money's worth. But I recognized in that moment, there's a reason why she's coming to me and she is looking for something, some kind of forgiveness or whatever. And I just took a moment and I was like, even though I don't feel a certain way about this, I have no energy. I want to give you what you need, which is listening to you or acknowledging your situation, your pain, whatever.
Sort of a weird, benign situation,
right?
Well, I mean, maybe it's helping form your philosophy. Like, I think part of it is you found forgiveness, although you didn't really need to, pretty easily, pretty readily in that situation. Like, someone harmed you. It was a big deal to them. And you didn't actually experience it as harm, but you were willing to say, hey, listen, I understand that there's a lot going on here and there's stuff and I can give you what you need without it necessarily even costing you anything.
Yeah.
Right. I mean,
okay. So hold on. I just want to say, had I heard her and just sort of disregarded, it's not that big of a deal. It's no problem. Mm-hmm. No big deal. Right. Which is what I probably normally would. Mm-hmm. But I had enough in the tank at that moment to recognize what she needed in that moment. Mm-hmm. But had I disregarded her and not heard her pain or acknowledged her, what she was going through, that she had thought about this 15 times. Clearly it was, you know, I keep using this metaphor. It was a rock in her backpack. Mm-hmm. It probably wouldn't have gone away, but I wanted it to go away for her. I wanted her to be able to release that resentment for herself. It wasn't resentment for me. It was pain within herself of a choice that she had made. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah, totally. And I think, you know, again, if we go back just even to this piece of theology, like I think there's something about if someone does come to you and offer repentance or a confession, yeah, forgive them. If we put that in clinical language, it'd be, the allowing repair attempts, right? Allowing repair attempts to be successful. But I'm just wondering again, sort of if you're in your own personal philosophy, it doesn't sound like for you or me, maybe that this idea of a confession or repentance is required. The thing about resentment, have you ever heard this idea, which is resentment or anger is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's sort of like, that's the thing I'm wondering about. Cause here's this guy and he's in my office and he's like, I'm really angry at you. And I'm like, okay, but for having a baby, I mean, I do understand that it made life harder. Just like we were describing a little bit earlier with babies and dogs, it makes things and it knocks you off your path maybe. But now what do we do with this anger? And then, you know, I asked him this other question, which is, you know, are you angry at yourself? He's like, oh yeah, 100%. Like he's not just strictly pointing it outward, but he's got this thing. And I was like, I don't know how to help. I mean, I have an idea. So this is why I was sort of wondering, like, where does this conversation go? Because sometimes we have to choose what we're going to do about this stuff. In the AA tradition, one that I've been learning about a little bit, the idea of resentment is actually at the heart of it. And part of the workaround, if you want to call it that, but part of the steps, I guess, is in making amends, most often what you're making amends for is your resentment.
Yeah.
And your part of whatever it is that happened. Mm-hmm. And it could be that the time that you sort of embarrassingly, you know, threw all their clothes out the window at a party or something, like that could be the thing that you're apologizing for, which I've never done. Thank you very much. You're grinning. You're like, tell me that story about how you.
No, I 100% actually have a personal story that I just was reminded of, which is pretty good. Can I derail?
Let me just finish this thought, which is that, part of the way you access resentment or forgiveness for the resentment that you have is to own your own part and just to say, hey, I am empowered by my awareness of my role in this thing that hurt us or that hurt you.
Yeah.
Or that caused the return hurt to me, you know? And yeah, I'm dealing with that right now where I feel wounded by a friend, and we're in a stalemate and it's not changing. And I finally was just like, fine, I will. Sorry, that's the wrong way. That sounds the wrong way. I finally tapped into like, maybe I need to go first here. And man. Yeah, I don't know. I'll let you know how it plays out, but, I'm deeply curious about my friend's philosophy of forgiveness, to be honest. So
maybe that's a really good question to start off with.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Couple of things piqued my interest. You said maybe I'll go first. And
I did go first. So
I think that that's
and I'm in that wasteland challenge right now between having like gone having, first and waiting for the response.
It's all right. You're processing this.
I don't mind.
Real time.
I have a clear head. I have a clear head and a clear heart.
14 billion listeners.
Full heart, clear heart, yeah. Clear eyes. Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose.
Yeah. I know that's Friday Night Lights. Did you know that? Yeah.
Very good. Congratulations.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It was the 35-year-old male playing a 17-year-old actor that I felt okay to watch.
Yeah.
So you said go first. And I think that this is kind of an interesting challenge. My husband's always the first to go when it comes to repairing. He's always the first. Actually, I would say it's getting better, but in the history of our 20 years together, it had, it's 20, can't be 20. It's probably 16. 16 sounds better. He's always the first one to come back and say, hey, what's going on? Something happened. We need to repair this, whatever it might be. But it might be an interesting challenge to our listeners, since you're modeling this, that what's the harm in going first? The harm is that maybe you put yourself out there, but my guess is you're going to move the needle a lot quicker and a lot more efficiently when you acknowledge that something's going on that you may have that contributed. Well, you most certainly have contributed to an interaction that probably didn't go well and you were hurt and wounded in, but you know what? Your partner was probably hurt and wounded in that as well.
Yeah, totally. And I think, like, does it matter? That's the part that I'm trying to wrap my head around is, does it matter if you are hurt? And listen, I'm not talking about, I think I'm talking about most of the day-to-day stuff. Maybe I'm not talking about the big rocks in your backpack, the big ones.
Okay.
Maybe I am. I don't know. I think though, like, is there, when there's been an affair and people come into my office and the affair gets revealed, or the affair has just recently been revealed and they're looking for a recovery process. One thing that I always 100% of the time say, I have never, ever, ever, ever seen a relationship recover when, let's say in this case, the hurt partner doesn't say, I know I have a part of this too. I know I have a role. I don't know what it is. It's not my fault. I'm not responsible for your choices. That's not what I'm saying.
Right.
But I'm saying, I know that I have a part of being in a relationship where whatever was happening caused a rift to form. And then we went down the slippery slope. Like, you have to have at least a portion of it in order to create the opportunity for holistic repair. So yeah, I mean, maybe I'm working out my own philosophy of forgiveness right now, because I think there's a part of it that says maybe I have to go first, or maybe I have to own a bigger part than I imagine I want to.
Interesting. Remember how I told you, I'd tell you a little story about, you said throwing the clothes out on the lawn. In college, I had a girlfriend who would make a habit of going to house parties. And while everybody was downstairs in the living room, in the kitchen and whatever, body on body on body, like doing their thing in the house party, she would find herself in the bedrooms. She would go into the closets and she would pull every article of clothing off of the hangers. Can you imagine?
I mean, waking some people's up in the stuff morning is so strange. Yeah.
And just being like, son of a gun, like nobody likes to do like fold or put away clothes or any of that. And like you go into your closet after your house has been demolished downstairs by people at a house party and all of the clothes in your closet are on the floor. That would really tick me off. But she thought it was very funny. And I'll be honest, I thought it was funny at the time, too.
Yeah. My workaround with that is that I only wear the same like four outfits. And so I just never hang anything up. It's always just on the floor.
It's on your side of the bed that has been allocated by your wife as the no touch zone, no care zone. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to let you know sort of if you found this interesting, thinking about forgiveness, I like the idea first of thinking about your own personal philosophy. Where did you, where did it come from? Does your philosophy need editing? Are you living out your philosophy? Because
yeah, do you know what it is? I mean, you might not even.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. People are mostly like, well, I don't think so. I don't know. But you do have a philosophy.
I think it's a great car conversation. Or I'm getting on an airplane in about 4 hours. Maybe I'll just turn to the person next to me and be like, hey, let's talk about our philosophy of forgiveness. Where did it come from?
Yeah. Or you can just ask her, how old is Whitney?
How old is Whitney? So that, I think, got scratched, which is a bummer because I told you about my Whitney and I think it's fabulous, but my Whitney is 38 years old and is making money wearing wigs and dancing.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And your Whitney's a boy.
My Whitney is a boy. That is his stage name.
My Whitney is 34, which is really, really weird because the only Whitney I know is 15. But when I think of Whitney and how old is Whitney, I think of a 34 year old woman.
Yeah.
So, and she has brown hair.
Did I tell your Whitney has brown hair?
Yeah. It's so weird because I mean, again, if you're out there in Marriage Therapy Radio land and you haven't, we didn't do this before. This is one of my new party questions because I was at a party and I had this conversation for maybe 20 minutes with four people. Because after we did Whitney, we were like, well, how old is Louise?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Louise is like 85, you know?
Yeah.
And then in my mind, I was like, then we're like, how old is Victor? And somebody was like, well, it depends. If you're in Russia, Victor is 6 and 16 and 26 and 36, you know, like.
And they're all in the same family.
And we totally had this whole conversation for like the longest time. It was so fascinating. And we talked about our different Whitneys and we talked about our different Victors that we knew in our life. And so, I don't know. I'm always a fan of like generating conversation that, that moves the needle. Anyway, on your airplane.
Yeah, on the airplane. We do have a very attractive Beverly. We kind of had this conversation where I was at a friend's house.
Beverly, Beverly's like 70.
Yeah, so Beverly came in. She was the nanny that was coming in to take care of our kids while we went out for dinner, this like group dinner. Yeah, yeah. And Beverly walks in the door and I was like, well, hello, Beverly. You're a 22-year-old college student your midriff is showing, Beverly. Yeah, yeah. Not what I expected.
Yeah. I have one more forgiveness notion that this is my favorite. I think this is my philosophy of forgiveness. Actually though, it's grown today in this conversation. So thank you for that.
You're so welcome.
This is one that I heard. I don't remember where I heard this, but it's one that I have, circled back to a lot. Forgiveness is giving up hope for a different past.
Ooh.
Right.
You wanted to be on the Instagram with that one this week, didn't you?
I don't know. I mean, it's not mine, so I can't quite claim it, but it is the way that I think about things, which is, you know, we have all of these stories about pain or harm or challenge, and, you know, that can be the story, or overcoming the pain and the harm and the challenge can be the story. Responding to the pain and the harm and the challenge can be the story. Forgiving the pain and the harm and the challenge can be the story. I just feel like I want to be a part of the better story. And sometimes that means I have to give up hope for a different past. Like, do I wish things had been different? Sure. Absolutely. Do I wish that you didn't harm me in this way? Yes. 100%. But do I hope for, is there anything I can do to make that happen? Well, no, the only thing I can do to make that happen is change the present. Mm-hmm. And this is what I mean by that, which is, you've heard me say before, if you watch every single movie you've ever watched and then you turn it off 10 minutes before the movie is over, it means something. That movie has a meaning. But the last 10 minutes changes the meaning of the first 90%. Okay. It changes it. It goes, oh, all of this stuff that we did, all of this trauma, it was worth it. Or, oh, love did win in the end. Or, oh, look, there's a there is a sneaky surprise hero that comes that we thought was dead that has come back, and it changes the tragedy. Mm. It changes the stress and strain. And so that's kind of where I think I'm trying to live right now, is in the last 10 minutes of all these stories, so that we can pivot them and change them into something that's more beautiful and more hopeful. So, I don't know. Again, I don't know if any of that has been encouraging to people out there, but that is where my head's at right now. When I'm thinking about my clients and thinking about myself and thinking about Laura, and I don't know, just a lot of that is bubbling around. So interesting to know what you think.
Yeah. And then I think I'm always, whenever I'm listening to this, I'm like, what are some action items or things other than like, what's your personal philosophy? But the other piece is, I think you should
write down.
That's a good one. Yeah.
And I think people, think about that. Okay, fine. Prove it.
Right.
Write it down.
Spend some time.
Yeah. You know, go catalog it a little bit, do a little bit of an inventory.
Yeah. But I think I might've told you I had new clients that came in to see me, and a lot of what they were looking at doing was kind of righting the wrongs of the past and basically saying, hey, here's our relationship. It's not bad, but I want to let you know, like, we definitely have backpack full of
I wrote a song about a backpack. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah. I will send you the adult version, by the way. I heard the adult version of backpack and it has curse words and it's got like a good drop to the beat. I'll send it to you, 'cause it's pretty special.
Okay.
All right. Hey, let's land this plane, 'cause I gotta go hop on another plane, and I'll talk to you later.
Yeah.
Hey everyone, thanks so much for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. I mentioned that I'm a huge fan of Harriet Lerner's work. So Dr. Harriet Lerner wrote a book, Why Won't You Apologize? She also did a podcast. It's a two-part series, and it's with Brené Brown. So if you are interested in hearing more about her philosophy of apologizing and forgiveness, check that out. It's called I'm Sorry, How to Apologize and Why It Matters, part one and part two. I think she also talks a lot about defensiveness, it kind of goes hand in hand, but wanted to give you another resource. I think this is a good episode. I'm really glad that Zach brought it up. Thanks for all of your time and attention, making your relationship better today than it was yesterday.